good morning to each one of you. Thank you for that prayer, Harley. I feel like I need some clarity of thought this morning. Now, I've been blessed this morning with the service so far, and I'm kind of seeing as the service goes on why God laid this topic on my heart, because I feel like the devotions, the Sunday school lesson, everything just kind of ties in nicely. And to be honest with you, I tried to go two different other directions yesterday and nothing would come together. So I went back to this topic, and I think I can see why God laid it on my heart. The title of the message is Faithful Servanthood. And I guess here last time I preached, I shared about how we can be rooted and grounded in God's love, and how we can be filled with God's love and have it flow out of us to those that are around us. And I guess this can be a little bit of an aspect of how we can do that, is to be faithful servants for God. So I don't really have a set text. We're going to look at some different scriptures, but you can just kind of follow along, and hopefully you can be encouraged and blessed. There was a preacher named Mordecai Ham who was holding revivals in Charlotte, North Carolina, quite a few years ago. He was a fiery evangelist and was disliked by many people. He was threatened and attacked many times. Still, he kept on preaching. A young man named Billy attended several of these services out of curiosity just to see what this preacher was about. Different times he was at the services, he would feel convicted by the Holy Spirit, but he resisted the urge to give in, to fully surrender to Christ. But finally, one evening, after fighting it so many times, he could no longer resist, and he surrendered, and he gave his life to the Lord. His life was forever changed from that point on. This young man named Billy was Billy Graham. He would go on to share the gospel with millions of people all around the world. Through one man's faithful preaching, many people had the opportunity to receive salvation as well. There was another young man. This man was a salesman in Chicago. He sold shoes. This young man was brash and rude and crude, and he battled a bit of a temper problem. He had no interest in becoming a Christian, but part of his job arrangement was that he was supposed to faithfully attend a church, to go to services regularly. His Sunday school teacher at this church was very persistent in urging this young man to read his Bible, to study it, to pray, try to understand it, what it says. And even though the young man resisted, the Sunday school teacher kept on poking and prodding. One day, the Sunday school teacher went to this shoe store where this young man worked and met with him and ended up leading him to the Lord. The young man's name was D.L. Moody. He went on to lead many, many people to salvation through his many evangelistic meetings he held all across the country. That Sunday school teacher's persistence and refusal to give up led to many souls being saved. Those are just two examples of people that were willing to serve, that were willing to be used of God. The Sunday school teacher lesson this morning spoke about and looked at the life of Joshua. That's another man that was willing to be used of God, to be a servant. And through these people's willingness to be served, they were God used them in mighty ways. And I want to look at this morning what it looks like to be a faithful servant of the Lord. This has been on my mind for quite some time. And this is more of me looking at my life and what I've been resisting myself over. It's been a good while that I've been trying to grow in this area. And so this is me preaching straight to the mirror. I'm preaching to myself this morning. I hope that in doing so that I can encourage you. I want it to be a benefit to y'all as well. So I want to start out by saying I'm not thinking of specific people as I share what I'm going to share. I just hope that you can maybe gain a vision of how you can be used right where God has you, and take advantage of the opportunities that are in front of you right now. I think there's several keys to being a servant. I kind of narrowed it down to three keys that we're going to look at today. And then we'll also kind of look at some things that can be a hindrance, that can hold us back, that can make it hard for us, or that can prevent us from truly being a servant to God and to others. So the first key is to be available. I don't know what comes to your mind when I say to be a servant, you need to be available. That's very elementary. That's very obvious. Of course, you have to be available. But I want to say that's probably the hardest thing for most of us people to get past and to get to the point of where we are truly available for God to use us for His glory. Because this requires us to be surrendered to Him. This requires us to give in to His will and His leading for our lives. Now our agenda is not just our agenda. This is God's agenda. And so it shouldn't be quite as big of a deal when we get interrupted or we get stopped and we have to switch gears and we have to step out of our comfort zone to go alongside someone that needs help, needs assistance, that needs encouragement, that needs prayer, whatever it might be. It's not my agenda anymore, so it doesn't bother me as much now that it's God's agenda. If you look at the ministry of Jesus, all throughout those examples that you read about in the Gospels, how many times were those miracles, those healings, whatever it might be, how many times were they performed when He was heading to that person? Not many. Most times He was headed somewhere else, and the need arose, someone interrupted Him, someone stopped Him, and He stopped what He was doing, and He took the time to minister to that need right in that moment. And I think we would all say that we would view Jesus as the ultimate example. That's who we strive to be like. We call ourselves Christians. We are His disciples, so we are trying to be more like Him. And He is the ultimate example of what a servant looks like. He was available. I'm going to look at some obstacles that come in our way of being available. There's three of them I came up with, very generalized. There's probably more that you can add to it. The first one I came up with was self-centeredness. This is when I have the attitude that I would serve, but I don't have time. I'd love to, but I can't right now. This is tough. We have to give up our own desires. We have to give up our own agendas, as I said earlier, and we're all busy. We all have tight schedules. We have dreams. We have goals. We're trying to achieve these goals. So we pack as much as we can into most days. There's not much time left in the schedule for little things that come up to step out of our schedule and take time for it. Our busyness is one of the main obstacles that keeps us from serving more in all reality. So self-centeredness. The next one is perfectionism. I actually had to look that up. That doesn't sound proper, but that is a word. Perfectionism. This is me with the attitude that I want to serve, but the time just isn't quite right. It's just not perfect right now. And we might feel that the opportunity that is presented to us, that it's not really what I'm capable of filling the need. I can think of many ways that I'll be able to help someday, just not right now, not when the circumstances are the way they are right now. It's just not a good time. So perfectionism. Number three, materialism. I have the attitude that I cannot serve right now because I have to make this much money this week. I can't take off work right now. I don't have that flexibility. One day, when I have enough money in the bank, I will be able to to be more free, where I can serve. So these are all very generalized, okay? But I think you can understand where we get hung up. We're humans. We can be self-centered and not even realize it. We can be so focused on what I need that before we know it, we've totally lost sight of the needs that are right in front of us. I simply can't see past my schedule and what I have to get done today most of the time. It's hard to step away from that. I can wait for the perfect time, but it most likely won't come. I can look for a more perfect person to do a task, but seeing that none of us are perfect, I doubt there is more of a perfect person to do that task. I can wait until the bank account looks more comfortable, but was that really more important than the people that I passed up the opportunity to help in the meantime? Just some food for thought. Jesus showed us as an example of how we can have a servant's heart, with so many examples of how he laid down his own desires to do the will of the Heavenly Father. And his disciples were a direct witness. They were direct eyewitnesses of so many of these accounts. They saw him teach. They saw him heal. They saw him do these wonderful miracles. And yet they really struggled with this whole concept of servanthood. The one scripture I'll ask you to turn to is in Mark. You can do that now. Mark chapter 10. We're going to look at verses 35 through 45. So, this is Jesus. I'll just read it. Okay, starting in verse 35. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left hand in your glory. You don't know what you are asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those whom they have been prepared, for whom they have been prepared. When the ten heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. That last verse in 45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. That was the key that stuck out to me. James and John were considered the two closest disciples to Jesus. And even they got a bit caught up in the status. And they were seeking to have a seat right beside Jesus when they all entered into glory. They had seen so many examples of Jesus being a servant. How could they forget? How could they lose sight of that? And we're no different. We're humans. They were humans. How can we forget? How can we lose sight? Because we get distracted, we get busy, and we all have to be reminded from time to time just what we're here for. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We were created to make a difference. We were put on this earth to contribute something. We were not made to sit on the sidelines and watch life pass us by. We are to step up and use the talents and gifts that God has given us to serve Him and others. So I spent a lot of time on that first key of being available because it felt like that has the most hindrances or obstacles that get in our way. So the next key we're going to look at is to be grateful. We do not serve God because we must. We serve Him because we are thankful for His grace and mercy that He extends to us. We are not doing so out of obligation or necessity to gain our salvation. We're doing this out of humility because He first loved us. He gave His life, He gave Jesus to provide a path of salvation for us. He's given us life through Jesus Christ. And for this, we should be glad and grateful to take the opportunities we have to show our love and gratitude to Him by serving others around us. Jesus served the Father with a grateful heart, and so should you and I. So that's the second key, is to be grateful. The last key is to be faithful. Being a servant is not always easy. It will not always be convenient. We might meet resistance, or we might face trials along the way. But we must not give up before our work is done. If we are faithful to the end, God will bless our efforts. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." In John 17:4, Jesus said, "I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do." This was getting towards the end of his life. He was praying to God. He was faithful to the end, and he wants us to be faithful as well. So those are the three keys. So I mentioned earlier that we are all created for a purpose, and we have talents, we have abilities, we have gifts that God has given us to be used to serve Him, to serve others. And the truth is, every one of us is called to be a minister. We as believers are all given a ministry. That is to share the gospel, to share Christ. So I don't know what comes to your mind when I say that we're all called to be ministers. But think through that a little bit and bear with me. 1 Peter 4:10 says, "Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms." So when I say we're all called to be ministers, I don't mean we're all called to be pastors or deacons or elders or missionaries per se in a different country. But we all are called to be a minister of the gospel. We're all called to be ministers of Christ. We're all called to be servants. Many times the opportunities to serve offer little fame or fortune or recognition. We may not be the ones that lead those future evangelists to Christ. We might be helping in the background. If you think about those big meetings that D.L. Moody had or Billy Graham had, somebody had to set the chairs up for the people to come and sit at. Somebody had to usher them in. There were volunteers that were ready to pray with people as they responded. Those were very important parts, just like it was for the person standing up front preaching the gospel. So not every time are you going to be in the forefront where you get the recognition. I thought of the story of David. You know, this was a young boy. He had older brothers. He was stuck being the shepherd in the fields while his older brothers were off fighting the battles against the Philistines in the army of King Saul. And one day his father came to him. He said, "Look, I want you to go to your brothers. I want you to take them some bread and some cheese, and I want you to go check on them, see how they're doing, and report back to me." So David left his sheep in the care of another shepherd. He took the bread and the cheese, and he goes to where the army was camped. And as he arrives, he hears Goliath across the way making fun, making mockery of the Israelites and of their God. And it right away caught his attention. So he started asking people questions like, what's the deal? Who's going to deal with this guy? He's making a mockery of our God. How can we let this go on? And his brothers got irate with him. They wanted to send him straight back to the fields where he belonged.